Today's Communion Sunday, and every time I think about, you know, the communion message, it's hard to think about communion without thinking about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And when I think about that, I think about what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So I want everyone to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. The beauty about having my Bible here on my iPad is I can change versions left and right, but this morning we're going to primarily read from the New King James. All right, so it says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse number 1, and I'm going to go ahead and read 1 through 5, and then we'll go back and look at it. It says, this is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech, or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And for some of you that don't know that this scripture is a scripture for my keynote scripture for one of my best-selling books, The Power of God, or in Spanish, Poder de Dios. It's out there. It came out a number of years ago. It's a good book. You know, and I followed along this year with my second book, Don't Be Stupid, and that's a book everybody needs to get in their bookshelf, all right, because there's a lot of stupid people. In fact, my book, Don't Be Stupid, would be the best Christmas gift you could give to anybody that you know. Well, you know, just tell them, well, you know, whatever. Anyway, going back to Paul, you know, notice he says, whenever I was with you guys, I was really in weakness and fear, but I didn't come with my own words. He said, it really wasn't about me. It's not about what I have to say. See, too many Christians and too many ministers, it's all about what they have to say. It's not about what they have to say, because what they have to say, it means nothing if it's not what God has to say. All right? It was not with enticing words of human wisdom. It wasn't about, you know, in fact, sometimes I wonder, you know, Lord, why am I a minister? I don't even have the best English. I can't even say, you know, my wife even corrected me right here. I mean, I don't have the best English. But it's not with, you know, it's not about my wisdom. And I want to go on record as I do believe that we should, you know, get educated. I am a college graduate. Some of you don't know that, but I do have a degree in accounting. Don't use it much, but I have a degree in accounting. I'd use more than the marketing stuff that I learned than I do the accounting thing. But I do believe that we should educate ourselves, but I also believe we should always continue to learn. That's one reason I became a Googleologist, because I Google about everything. I mean, I'll be watching TV and some newscaster says something or whatever, and I'm like, really? And I'll read all about some subject that doesn't really mean a hill of beans for me, but I just kind of was interested. It was interesting. All right? But you know, understand, Paul says, I'm determined not to know anything among you. I'm not determined to know anything except for Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And every time I look at the communion table, I think about Jesus Christ and Him crucified and what it means to you and what it means to me. Jesus Christ and Him crucified is powerful. Who we are in Christ is all because of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Do you realize, yes, you know, it's important, you know, baby Jesus came to this world, but some people always keep Jesus in a manger. All right, baby Jesus was important because if Jesus wouldn't ever came, He could have never died. But it was His death, burial, and resurrection was a fulfillment of why He came. You understand that the point He came, you know, God, it's because God loved the world that He came. All right, and it's important that He came to this earth, and it's important to celebrate, you know, His birth, and we're fixing to do that. It's Christmas season. I know it's just the first part of November, But they're putting up Christmas decorations, you know, in the mall. They're singing Christmas carols and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And you're like, I haven't had Thanksgiving yet. But it's okay. You know, I've been hearing things about Black Friday when, you know, it's only a few weeks away and different things like that. You know, but it's also important that we celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection. Because really, it was him and him crucified that gave us the power that we have. All right? The reason we can operate in power in our life is because the Lord was crucified. And every time I look at the communion table, you know, and I know obviously there's a little cross on top of the thing. Maybe some of you haven't even noticed that. You know, that's a handle actually we use to open the lid. There's a cross there. But it's not just because of the cross that I remember the cross. It's a communion. It's one of the, you know, the things. I mean, this is, in fact, it says, do this in remembrance of me, obviously. But think about this. He says, you know, I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling and not with human wisdom, but I came only to know about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Everything that I do, I came declaring the testimony of God. It's only about God. It's only about Jesus Christ. It's only about him. It wasn't about some kind of wisdom that I got, you know, here or wisdom I got there. But he says, you know, but when I do that, I also come in demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. Because when you start talking about the cross, you start talking about what happened on the cross, you start talking about Jesus Christ and him crucified and his name, it's powerful. It's powerful. There is power in the name of Jesus. But the reason there's power in the name of Jesus was because Jesus Christ and him crucified. Do you understand? In fact, Jesus, the whole time, we'll actually read a couple of scriptures in a minute. I mean, you know, told the disciples, you know what, guys? I know you're going to be sad, but it's better that I go. You know, I know you're going to go through the time and you're thinking, I mean, you know, I want you with me, but it's better than I go, you know, because whenever I go, you're going to be better off. And so really, the communion table means, you know, we're better off. We're better off because he died. We're better off, you know, we think, but aren't we better off if he lives? Yes, but because he died, he does live. He does live, and not only does he lives on the inside of you. Well, look, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. We'll look at that in a moment. But you know what? One reason that, you know, Jesus shows forth his power is so that we don't put our faith in man and their wisdom, but to put our faith in his power and his ability. You know, our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Lord Jesus. It also means, you know what? I appreciate, you know, the wisdom of men, people that have gone to school, you know, for years. I mean, one thing that we teach here around our ministry, when you're sick, go to the doctor, find out what's wrong with you. Why? Because you need to know how to direct your prayers, how to direct your faith. All right? But you know what? Just because the man's wisdom says you have some kind of disease doesn't mean you have to keep that kind of disease. See, my faith doesn't reside in that man's wisdom says, you know, I have this disease and I only have this long to live. But my faith resides in the power of God that says, you know what? I died on the cross. I gave my life so that you could live. In fact, Jesus Christ said in John 10:10, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I came to give you an abundant life. And he wasn't talking about, you know, the life hereafter, which is going to happen. But I came. Now, obviously, you know, he knew that he was going to spill his blood on the cross. He knew the, you know, the rest of the story. At that point in time, nobody else did. But, you know, it was because of the rest of the story that we can have an abundant life. Now, the reason we don't sometimes is because we don't expect to have an abundant life. Or because we're too busy listening to what the devil says he's going to do. Or too busy listening to man's wisdom sometimes. And I get it. Like I said, I think you need to educate yourself. But there's sometimes you have to stand up and say, you know what? I know what education says. I know what the facts say. But I know who I am in Christ Jesus. And I know what Jesus Christ did for me. I know what this table means. I know that I can have power. That I can live free. That I don't have to be bound by this disease. I don't have to be bound by these debts and these situations. I don't have to be down by all these weapons that are coming against me. But I can know who I am in Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. I can know Jesus Christ and him crucified, and that's all I need to know. Because when I know him and him crucified, then I can make it through any situation. Any circumstance, because I know what Jesus did for me, but I also know he's with me. I know he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Wherever I go, he's there with me. He's helping me. He's guiding me. You know, he's giving me strength. He's giving me wisdom. And he's already given me the word. You know, a lot of times people are always saying, you know, I just need a word from God. I just need a word from the Lord. I just need a word from the Lord. And you have 66 books full of them. 66 books. And I know the New Testament, you know, might be more relevant, for your life than the Old Testament, but you got plenty of words. You know what? Most people don't want to really read the word. They want someone to give them the word. But I'm telling you, I'm going to give you a testimony. There was a man that I know well, very related to, that at 17 years of age, lying on a deathbed, that actually read the word. He never heard anyone preach on healing. He called the pastor to come and pray, and all he did was basically, curse him. He said, be patient, my boy, in a few days it'll all be over. That's encouragement right there. We need more pastors like that. I'm joking, right, obviously. The pastor didn't give any words of encouragement, but praise God, he got a hold of the word of the Lord at 17. He got a hold of what God's word says. And that's the reason that Mark 11, 23 and 24, is a scripture that we always talk about and always believe in, because it was that scripture. It was that word. It was that word that got him off that deathbed. Because some of us don't think what would have happened if he would, instead of getting the word from the Lord, he would have took the man's wisdom, the pastor, and went home to be with the Lord. Think of all the people that had been influenced by his ministry and his books and his messages and all around the world, and and other people who have learned faith through his messages and came to this Bible school, all those people that wouldn't have been affected because he listened to the wisdom of man. But praise God, he got a hold of the word for himself. We need to get a hold of the word for ourselves. We need to know what the Bible says. There's plenty of words there. There's plenty of words there that encourage you. Plenty of words there to tell you, you're gonna make it. That no weapon formed against you shall prosper. There's plenty of words in the Bible. Plenty of words for you. You don't need someone to come and give you a word. You need to get into the word and find out who you are in Christ Jesus. Find out what you've been given. Find out that in the name of Jesus, that demons have to tremble. Find out that we can resist the devil and he can flee from us. And it's all because of Calvary. It's all because of what he did through his death, burial, and resurrection. It's all because of Jesus. Skipping back to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53, and it was a foreshadow of what was going to happen on the cross. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, and I know most of you probably know these scriptures or read it for yourself, but Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, and I'm going to go ahead and read it while some of you guys are trying to find it, because I want to make sure I get through stuff. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed." We are healed, actually. Understand that everything he did was for us. It was not about him. It was about he's doing this for us. Everything that Jesus did was for you and I because, you know, it was love being manifested by sacrificing his life to become the final lamb and the final, you know, understand, think about having to live under the old covenant and have to come to the altar and slaughter all these animals and all these things or whatever, you know, for atonement for our sins. But praise God that Jesus atoned for everything that day. I mean, thank God for his death, burial, and resurrection. Thank God that he took those stripes for us. But you understand everything that happened to him that day on Calvary was all for you. It was all for you. It says he buried your griefs and buried your sorrows. So why are you still having your griefs and sorrows when he already took them? See, the reason you have griefs and sorrows is because you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus. You don't know that, you know what, that you can make it. It goes on to say, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. You know, I mean, he took it all for us. And this one, you know, for a long time, I didn't understand. It says that the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And I started reading about that. When one person says, everything that we need to obtain peace was all done there on Calvary. Understand that, you know, when Jesus came, they called him the Prince of Peace. I mean, remember, you know, peace on earth and goodwill to men. I mean, that's a big Christmas scripture and things like that. But you know what? When Jesus came to bring peace, he's still here to bring peace. I mean, Jesus was a man of peace. Everything he did was all about peace. But you know what? A lot of Christians today don't have a lot of peace. There's a lot of fear. And I haven't really understood that because I get it. I mean, there are times in my life where fear tries to come upon me. But as soon as fear tries to come upon me, I know what the word says. See, if you know what the word says, as soon as fear tries to come upon me, instantly from down here, it comes up. And I start, then it goes from here to here. And I start thinking, for God has not given me a spirit of fear. So wait. So if I don't have a spirit of fear, if I don't have fear, if God hasn't given me that, then the only person that can give me fear is the devil. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from me. You know, one translation says, run from as in terror. He's afraid of you. So why am I fearful? Being fearful, I'm saying, you know what, devil? You're able to have influence in my life. But he didn't come to bring fear. He came to bring power, love, and a sound mind or peace. Power, love, and peace. Interesting part about it, I mean, the scripture we read earlier, you know, Paul says, I know Jesus Christ and him crucified, and when I do, I have power. Well, we know we can't have Jesus without having love because Jesus gave us two commandments, to love the Lord and to love our neighbor. And said, in these two commandments, fulfill all the laws of the prophets and everybody else. So you got to have love. God brings love, and a sound mind is peace. I mean, he brought peace. No fear, but power, love, and peace. That's what all happened because of Calvary, because of this table. Jesus brought forth power, love, and peace. And when you have fear, I want you to remember what the word of God says about fear. It says it doesn't come from God. If it doesn't come from God, I don't have to accept it. You said, but it's really scary. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by how scary things are. And I point this out all the time. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Weapons will be formed against you. They're not going to prosper. Scary things will happen. But in the end, God gets the glory. If you know who you are in Christ. If you know your power, if you know what you can do, see, what you can do about it is to say, I don't accept it. Return to sender. Many of you who knew my grandfather and heard him minister many times, he would say, you know, well, I haven't had a headache for 68 years. Last time I had a headache was August of 1933. Too late to start having headaches now. But then he would say these words, but I passed up many marvelous opportunities to have one. So I flat out asked him one day, what do you mean you pass up many marvelous opportunities? He says, there are times my head started hurting. So what, but you said you never had a headache. No, I never kept a headache. And I think that's a good example. You know, we say, well, you know, I never had a fear. Well, yeah, fear came, but it left because I never kept the fear. See, some of us, we get all upset at ourselves. Yeah, but we let this come. Yeah, but we don't have to keep it. And I think sometimes we miss out because in fact, we get mad at ourselves because this comes in. But understand, you know, the devil comes in and tries to attack, but all of a sudden it has to come up from the inside. What does the word say? See, that's what Jesus said whenever he was tempted from the devil. He says, for it is written. It is written. Well, what's written? Whatever you need. Well, but if you don't know what's written, he said, actually, my grandfather said, well, he said this, he says, one of the biggest reasons why Christians are not healed or they don't have things that God promised them is they don't know what the word says. They do not know what the word says. And you can't act upon the word if you don't know what it says. I remember many times, he always said, the Bible is God's word speaking to me. The Bible is also God's word speaking to you. Understand, the Bible is God's word speaking to you. And so if you need the word, you have the Bible. Yeah, but I need brother so-and-so to come by and give me a word. We don't need brother so-and-so because we have the spirit of brother so-and-so on the inside and we have the spirit of Jesus. Our big brother, so-and-so. All right, we have his spirit on the inside. You want to turn over there to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, Jesus speaking to his disciples. You know, he was talking about the time when this was going to take place, whenever he was going to die upon that cross. And he was giving them a foretelling of what's going to happen. John chapter 14 in verse 25. Says this, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring your remembrance all things I said unto you. Now bring to remembrance because you've read it, you know it. Now one thing my grandfather always talked about, he said, you know, before that he was born again, said that he, before he was born again, he made terrible grades. But after he was born again, you know, he began to figure out that he could study, and then he would pray that the Holy Spirit would bring to remembrance all the things he studied. Bring it to remembrance, or bring it to remembrance things that you study, that you got a hold of. But if you never get a hold of the word, you can't bring some remembrance you don't have. You know, that's why it's important to get a hold of the word. But he's going to bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, here talking to the disciples, you understand they didn't have the Bible for them. All they had was his teachings. Understand? But you know. Although as they walk with him, you know, Jesus taught them, but the Holy Spirit's going to bring that to remembrance, the things that Jesus taught. You know, just like it brings to remembrance a lot of times, like I said, whenever fear comes in, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance a scripture that comes against that. Because I know the word. I've read many scriptures. Now there's sometimes I don't even know where that scripture is found in the word. But the Lord brings a scripture that comes against that. But I really like this. You know, verse 27 goes on to say, peace I leave with you. See, one of the things he wanted to make sure that whenever he left, that he wants to make sure the disciples and everybody else understood that he's leaving peace behind. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not just ordinary peace, but the peace that passes all understanding. That's what I leave you with. not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. He says, you know, you don't understand, but instead of being sad when I'm on the cross, you should rejoice because what it means to not only to you, but everybody else, you know, that follows along in your land, in your heritage. You know, but we have the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us and gives us utterance to speak, that reminds us of scriptures that we have at all times. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we'll go over to John chapter 16, verse 13. And I'm just going to go ahead and start reading it. 16:13 of John says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will help you. He will guide you. He will lead you. Well, who is this Spirit? Well, we find out over in Romans what the Spirit is. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I told him I wasn't going to get to all these scriptures, but I'm going fast, so we're getting to all these scriptures, all right? Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 10 here. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The same Spirit that was with Jesus through his life, through his death, through his burial, through his resurrection, and is with you now. Now, I'm going to give you a cheesy example. Well, actually, let me finish reading before I give my cheesy example. All right. Therefore, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, but if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. He's saying we should live by the Spirit of God. That we have the Spirit on the inside that leads us and guides us and shows us the way. Not an ordinary Spirit, but the same Spirit that was with Christ Jesus now dwells in us because he went away. Because of the cross. Because of his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, here's my cheesy example. Anybody ever seen Star Wars? And, you know, and I know the Lord, you know, the Holy Spirit don't want to be compared to Star Wars because that demeans him. But, you know, a lot of times examples help us, you know, visual examples. And in Star Wars, especially the original Star Wars, which actually was the fourth one, that's confusing there. But original Star Wars came out in 1977 and all throughout there. But you know, whenever, it talks to me, you know, that you would see Luke Skywalker, and all of a sudden on the inside, use the Force, Luke. Obi-Wan Kenobi would appear to him and talk to him. And I understand that's a movie, and movies are movies. But you know what? You have a greater Spirit on the inside of you. And if Obi-Wan Kenobi can appear to Luke Skywalker, the Spirit of living God can appear to you. And I don't mean he has to appear visually, but on the inside, what being led by the Spirit of God is because the Spirit of God is telling you, use the word, Craig. Use the word, John. Use the word, Sue. Use the word. See, we don't think about, but that's the Spirit of God leading us and guiding us. He's telling us, you know what? He's bringing the word back to us, the word that we know. And he's saying, you know, I know you're going through a situation, but the word says this. Be a doer of the word. Use the word. You know, and not only that, even like one thing people have trouble with, first of all, you have what you say you have, right? I don't know how many Christians have told me, well, Craig, I have trouble with my love walk. Well, you keep confessing, you'll keep having trouble with your love walk. I don't know why you have trouble with your love walk. You have trouble with your love walk because you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus never had any trouble with his love walk. All right? I mean, even, you know, right there, he was on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. Man, I make excuses for everybody. I'm going to tell you, I'm probably, I mean, you know, I excuse people all the time because I don't want to get mad at them. And I try to think, well, maybe if I was in their shoes, if, you know, if I had their situation, maybe I would do the same thing. Maybe I would be rude. Maybe I would be mean. You know, a lot of times people are rude or mean because they don't even love themselves, and they can't love anybody else if they don't even love themselves. And you know, love starts with yourself. If you have trouble with your love walk, you might be having trouble with loving yourself. And maybe it's because you're letting the devil tell you how bad you are because of what you've done, and you can never measure up, but you don't have to measure up. That's what this cross was for. So you know what? I don't care. You don't have to be worthy because I sacrificed for you. I took away your issues. I took away your problems. I took away your inadequacies. I took them and I bore them on the cross. You know, see, understand, Jesus did not hang on his cross. He hung on yours. He hung on your cross. You know, and don't get me wrong. I mean, I understand there's many people who carry the cross and they're just trying to promote Jesus. And I get what they're doing. But sometimes I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I don't have to carry no cross. Jesus was carrying my cross. And I'm not, please, I mean, I'm not trying to make fun of anyone's ministry. And I understand what they're doing. You get it. I mean, you know, I mean, they're going out there and reaching the lost and touching people and showing, you know, Jesus Christ. But really, in essence, and when it really comes down to it, nobody has to carry a cross anymore. Jesus carried our cross. You know, sometimes, you know, you ever heard the word took one for the team? Jesus took one for the team. He took one for the team. He was sacrificed so we didn't have to be. He was sacrificed so we don't have to have any more sacrifices. He took one for the team. He took one for you. He took one for me. And see, and when we realize what he did, I mean, and we realize, you know what? It doesn't matter what we've done, that Jesus washes it all. He takes care of it all. So I can love myself because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. And I get it. Just like you know, when you're in your love walk, you know, sometimes, you know, people do things that could make you real mad, and all of a sudden your thought life says, you know what, I'm gonna give him a piece of my mind, but Jesus said, you know, give him a piece of my mind. You know, if you have the mind of Christ, you can't give a piece of your mind because you have his mind and you have his spirit, you have his heart, and that's why we have to be renewed. We have to renew our mind daily. We have to cast down imaginations, you know, because the devil's going to try to say, you know what? Well, you're worthless. You're not worthy. I don't even know how you even get up there. I don't know how you preach to other people. Think of all the bad things you've done. It's not about what I've done. It's about what he did right here on Calvary. See, this right here is my redemption. This is life-changing. And you know, when we take communion, when we do this in remembrance of him, we're remembering a life-changing thing that happened even before we were born that changed our life. Our life was changed 2,000 years ago on Calvary. So don't change it back. You can't change it back, by the way. But you know what? Accept what he gave you. Because, you know, we have freedom. We're what we call, the Bible says, a free moral agent, or just like a free agent, you know, in sports. They have a freedom to choose this team over another team. Sometimes you get really mad about that because this guy decided not to choose your team anymore. Go to another team. Then you boo that other team. You know, still a nice guy, but, you know, not really happy you went somebody else, you know. But you know, you're a free agent. You can decide to accept the table or not. Accept what he did for you or not. But you know what? What a lot of Christians do, they do the halfway in between. You know, remember the song, if you're up, you're up, if you're down, you're down. If you're only halfway up, you're neither up or down. You know. I know, I'm thinking, Craig, why in the world would you sing some weird song like that? And now I'm having to sit around and make sense. If you're up, you're up, down, down, if you're only... But what I'm saying is we have a lot of halfway up Christians. What do you mean? Well, you know, I've been born again. I know that soon and very soon, that one fine day, that the eastern sky is going to crack open, and I'm going to rise and go to heaven, and you know, and the roll is going to be called up yonder. I'm going to be there. And so they got a hold of all that. But they haven't got a hold of that you know what? You can do something about the devil trying to attack you here. And that Jesus wants you to live life more abundantly here. And you know what? This word gives you a lot of stuff for here. And the Holy Spirit wants to lead you and guide you here. And we can have a good life, you know, life here, but you're only halfway up because you're thinking about there, but not thinking about here. You only halfway got the word. Yeah, you know, ultimately, one fine day, you're going to live next door to me. All right? But now I'm here and you're over here. Because you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus. You don't know what this table really means. You got a hold of the you know, the soon and very soon, one fine day when the roll is called up yonder. You got a hold of that part. And you know what? And that is the most important part. But I want you to get a hold of that Jesus Christ came, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And when you know who you are in Christ, and when you know what Christ did for you, you can have joy, you can have peace, you can have power, you can have love. Everything is A-okay when you know who you are in Christ Jesus. And it was his death, burial, and resurrection. You know, I like to be like Paul and say, you know what? I don't come with anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all I need. That gives me all the power I need. That gives me everything I need. I want to leave you off with another scripture on peace, because I want to understand that we should have peace. Another scripture that Jesus gave his disciples back in John chapter 16. You know, this is right before things happen on the cross. This is right before, you know, all the things happen. John 16:33 says this: "These things I have spoken to you, that in me, notice it says, see, in me, in Christ, you may have peace. I can do all things, you know, through Christ, in Christ, with Christ, but in Christ I can have peace." Goes on to say, in the world, you will have tribulation. Things won't, you know, he tells you already in advance, you know what? The world you're going to live in is not going to be a nice place sometimes. People are going to die. But he says this: "When you see that, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus has overcome the world. And you can have peace in him. And I want to say that because there's so many Christians, especially, you know, during this election season, and we've seen some racial situations that seem like that we're back in the 60s. Terrible racial situations. And it should not be like that. It should not be like that. But you know what? Until you can educate, until you can spread the love of Jesus with people, I understand, you know, they don't know Jesus. If you know the world, there's tribulation. There's turmoil. I mean, even through this whole election season, we've seen tribulation. People are trying to figure out, what's going to happen? And what do I do? And follow after the leading of the Spirit. But the main thing is have peace. I've seen a lot of people here recently don't seem to have a lot of peace. I mean, I saw someone the other day, so I just know this is really interesting. I said, so I'm praying about election, but I don't know what to do. I'm just so nervous about it. Well, you know, I don't think Jesus Christ is nervous about the election. We do what we can. We vote. We pray. You know? But we keep praying. And we keep praying. Whether the person you want to win wins, or the person you don't want to win, you know, state question passes, you don't want to pass, passes. You just pray that the Lord will cause things to happen. the Holy Spirit will keep leading us and guiding us and helping us, and you know, we'll keep praying for our lands. But Jesus came that we might have peace. He died that we might have peace. And he's still living that we might have peace. So go in peace today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for each and every person. And Father God, we thank you to help us to get a hold of what it means that your son, Jesus Christ, came to this earth. What it means that he died upon the cross. What it means that he went down and defeated Satan. And what it means now that he arose and he's right here by your right hand. And the Holy Spirit has come down to be with us. Help us to understand what it means to be who we are in Christ Jesus. Help us understand that we are a new creature. Help us understand that our life has been changed. But Father God, we thank you that you'll help us understand that not just today, but whenever we're facing our worst situations, you'll help us to understand and to remember and to go back. And the Holy Spirit will remind us about what the word says, that we are the head, not the tail. We are above and not beneath. That we shall make it, that we're victorious through Christ Jesus. But Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father, that today that they'll make a decision to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. Maybe they're here and they once were in Father's house, but they kind of turned their back and went away and been living life their own way instead of God's way, and they want to come back and publicly rededicate their life. We thank you that they'll do that this morning. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, never in your entire life, or you have been saved, but you've turned your back, you went away, and tonight after or today you want to rededicate your life to God, if that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. Anyone here that says, Craig, I've never been saved. I see a hand. Thank you. Anybody else? I mean, this guy broke the ice. He was the first hand. Anybody else? You say, Craig, I've never been saved, but I want to today. Or you know what? I was once saved, and I once was walking with the Lord, but I turned my back and I went away. Anybody else? Anybody else? Actually, let's all go ahead and stand up. If you're here this morning and you lifted your hand or didn't lift your hand, but you know you should have lifted it, I want you to come down here. I'm going to pray with you. If you lifted your hand for prayer, or you didn't lift your hand, but you know you should have, come on down here. Amen. Come on down here. I said, James, I said, you know, I have these books that I want to give you. How would you get the books? How would you get it? Just reach out and take them, right? Books are yours. All right. That's what you do whenever you accept things from Jesus Christ. You just reach out and take them. And whether it be salvation the first time or rededication, you say, you know what? Jesus, I'm just reaching out and taking everything you have for me. Now, you like Christmas? I like Christmas. Christmas, you know, we get presents, right? Now, when I was a kid, I'm sure probably the same thing with you, is that my parents used to put presents under the tree, you know, before Christmas, and they would say to Craig from Mom and Dad. Maybe it says to you, so to James from Mom and Dad. And I never could wait till Christmas Day. I mean, I used to go shake the presents and look at the, you know, see if I figure out what it was. But on Christmas Day, I could open up the present. But the present belonged to me as soon as it went under the tree. Salvation belonged to you as soon as it happened. But today's your Christmas Day. You know, you're taking a hold of what belongs to you. Today's a wonderful day. I'm going to pray with you right here. And then we have the gentleman's going to take you, and he's going to pray more. And he already gave you these books. We'll give you some more material and make sure that you got what you came for. Father God, we thank you for James. We thank you for his life. Thank you, Father, right now you're forgiving him for all his sins. We thank you, Father, that you're setting him on a different path, a different road. We thank you, Father, that today, after today, everything will be different. We thank you, Father, for saving him, setting him free. We thank you for everything that you're doing in James's life, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. James, I want you to go. This is Greg Finley, one of our pastors on staff, and he wants to minister to you and make sure you got what you came for. Amen. Praise God. You know, the whole message here was just for James. It was worth it. Amen. I want you to stretch out for your hands. Thank you, Father, for James. Thank you for his life. Thank you, Father, that you're just going to supernaturally, radically change him like never before. And we thank you that you're just touching his life and you're helping him. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, here at Raymond, we practice what we call open communion. If you want to take communion, you're welcome to do so. Ushers, go ahead and come on. If you're not with your family, then come be with your family and take communion together with the family. Amen. So the ushers are coming, and they're going to sing something as we pass out the communion.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing,
love so amazing.
Messiah, name above all names,
blessed
Redeemer,
Emmanuel,
Emmanuel,
the rescue for sinners.
Messiah, Jesus Messiah,
name ransomed from heaven.
We're ransomed from heaven.
Jesus Messiah.
Jesus Messiah.
Chapter 11, verse 23 says this, that for I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So I want you to take the bread in your hand, and I'm going to pray. Father God, we just thank you for this bread that represents the broken body of your son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, as we remember what happened there on Calvary. We remember that Jesus' body was broken. We remember the stripes that he took on his back, that we were healed. And Father God, we thank you that today, as we take forth this bread, we take forth healing to our souls, healing to our lives. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and break and eat. Goes on verse 25 to say this, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So go ahead and take the cup in your hand. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup. This cup that represents Jesus's blood that was spilled that day on Calvary. And yes, it was a bloody scene and it might have looked gory, but Father God, we thank you for that precious blood. That blood that was spilled so we don't have to spill any more blood. That blood that was spilled so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. That blood that was spilled so that we can have an eternal life. And we thank you, Father, for what happened there on Calvary through everything. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and drink. Let's all stand up. Let's just thank him for what he did. Father God, we just give you the thanks and the praise for sending your son Jesus to die on Calvary there so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. We thank you, Father, for an abundant life. We thank you, Father, for the peace that passes all understanding that overtakes us all. And we give you the glory, honor, and praise. Let's go ahead and sing.